my very special guest today, frequent contributor to Unreal Bluegrass, Kristen Scott Benson, member of The Grascals. They have a brand new album, Straighten the Curves. We're going to talk to her about that album at length. Kristen Scott Benson, what more can you say? Four-time IBMA Banjo Player of the Year, five-time Spigma Banjo Player of the Year. Last year, 2018, she won that very special Steve Martin Award for Excellence in Banjo and Bluegrass. She's done law, and she just keeps doing changes in the band. We'll discuss those and how the band just keeps putting out great, great music like the brand new Straighten the Curves. Again, we discussed all this in the second hour. Thanks so much for hanging out, Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass. I am very happy to welcome back a frequent contributor to Unreal Bluegrass, Kristen Scott Benson. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Listening to the brand new album, of course, a lot of people have been hearing Haggard for a while, which is a Harley Allen tune, but the new album, Straighten the Curves, is out, and a lot of great songs on it. You know, in the Grascals, I'll just tell you this, they just, was it been 15 years already?
That's probably right. I believe it was 2004, yep.
And I'm counting in my head, and there's like, what, 12, 13? Is this the 13th album from the Grascals band?
Boy, I would have no idea.
It's amazing.
Just about, yeah, because there was a while that we did, I think, 3 records in 2 years. So, and then there has been the odd year that we didn't. So that's probably right.
Busy, busy. The Grascals maintain a great, great. Here's what I think, and we could talk about this in terms of the Osborne Brothers too. For 50 years, they were always the Osborne Brothers, and they always had that great, recognizable sound. And they went through changes in instruments and things they did, but it was always the Osborne Brothers. And I always think of the Grascals now as having this it's a band sound, and you can almost, they're almost always recognizable. And the band just seems to be the goal, the sound of the band is the goal. And every time I think you guys go in the studio for something like Straighten the Curves, which is on it's Mountain Home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's what you're doing, and I think that's a mark of a great band, that it's the band. You're there for the band.
Yeah. You know, the one major difference, obviously, between us and the Osborne Brothers is that the voice of Bobby was the constant.
Always,
and of course,
a constant.
Sonny, yeah, and Sonny sang the part right under him, which is the most prominent harmony part. So while the low tenor guy would be in and out, the core vocally stayed the same. That has not been the case for the Grascals. We've had... you know, we started with Terry Eldridge and Jamie Johnson, and they had extremely identifiable voices. So we were really nervous when we lost Jamie because we knew that certainly he was the face of the band. He was kind of the personality that everybody associated with it. And I think the reason we were able to weather that so as well as we did is just because we got such a talented guy to come in after him, and that was John Bryan. And then... you know, we lost Terry Eldridge. He decided, they both just decided to come off the road, and Terry Eldridge decided, I guess it was, oh gosh, 6 or 8 months ago now, to stay at home. So we had this other gigantic vocal void to fill. And that is a lot more challenging than when you switch out instrumentalists, but the vocalists stay the same. So we've just been really blessed. The new guy that we have, Chris Davis, is doing a fantastic job. And one thing that I think saved us with Chris is that Terry Eldridge was such an emotional singer. So if we had found someone or hired someone that sang really, really well and they were a great vocal technician, but they didn't sing the songs with a lot of feeling, I think it would have made it even a harder transition, because the one thing that Terry Eldridge always had in his singing every night was emotion. Thankfully, Chris is a similar kind of singer. So I feel like we've dodged 2 bullets by finding John Bryan to replace Jamie and now Chris Davis to replace Terry Eldridge, because both of those guys were powerful influences on the band. So we're blessed to still be chugging along.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to suggest that you maintain the same vocal pairings that the Osborne Brothers were able to, but there's a band sound that I think is recognizable.
Sure.
Even though some of those vocals may change, there's a band sound and a band concept, and the material that you choose, I think.
That's true.
It's really distinctively Grascals, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, every band has its own personality musically and personally. You know, everybody has a vibe about them as a group on stage. And I heard Terry Smith, who is one of the two founding members who's right. still left, I heard him say recently that he thinks one of the things that has been the reason the band has stayed successful, even through these changes, is that the culture on stage is the same. It's still a really fun band to watch live, and I can say that humbly, and because I'm not really a part of it. You know, I do the stoic banjo player thing where I'm just kind of on the end, and, you know, I don't really contribute to that, you know, and it's like Earl never smiled, therefore we are not required to.
I know,
but,
I don't have to.
But anyway, we still have, you know, the personalities and,
But see, that's,
you know,
your role, that's your role, is to be the stoic one.
There you go. That's what I need to, yeah, that's what I say. And, but anyway, the live shows, the spirit is the same. Regardless of personnel changes, it's a very fun-loving band.
It's a good way to put it. And I remember when the Grascals came about, and it was the concept of these are... The band was formed, as I recall, originally, you know, were kind of famous side people to bands.
That's right.
And so mm-hmm. so they the decision, rather than to make a dressy, showy appearance, was to... were the side band members, and they started doing that, and I know they started playing out, and they got very popular, and they started recording. But so I think that fits within this, and I that's what I mean. There's a band concept,
yeah.
And of course now I always recognize your banjo over anything else. I can pick it out. And for the people listening, I'm talking to Kristen Scott Benson, what, 5-time SPGMA Banjo Player of the Year, 4-time IBMA Player. Last year you won the Steve Martin Award for Excellence in Banjo and Bluegrass, or whatever it's called, and you're doing okay.
Yeah, super blessed, and it's still hard to believe. That was definitely a great day when we found out about the Steve Martin Award. That was unexpected, and, you know, we're thankful just for the opportunity to be able to make a living. We say that. When I say we in that context, I'm talking about my husband and me, as some people will know. I'm married to Wayne Benson, who plays mandolin for
one of my all-time favorite mandolin players. And I've told Wayne that, too. I just think there's so much. It's all the ability he brings and the taste that he uses in the song. And with Third Time Out, we're hearing more prominently. And so many signature tunes from Third Time Out are really, I think, Wayne on mandolin beneath it.
I agree. And, you know, he's been a part of that sound for 25 years, maybe.
Wow.
And, you know, so we just feel blessed to get to do what we love for a living, and that's enough. So to have you know, anything on top of that is really icing on the cake.
You know, when I start listening to these a CD in preparation for something like chatting with you, every day my favorite tune changes. There's an instrumental on it, and we'll talk about that, but right now my favorite song on the album, and the first time I went through it, I was like, where's this going to go? They Laughed is the one that's currently my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great story song.
It is.
And it's a real different, it's a departure for this band in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's not uncommon for people to come at a song or an idea with three different perspectives. Each verse is, you know, a new example of the same idea. And that's the case with this song. But I thought Chris delivered it really well, it's got a real eerie feel. You know, the banjo is just pretty much a part on the choruses. It's just a different type of song, and that was definitely one of the ones that I was, you know, most excited about when we were trying to find material.
It's currently, when I'm driving in the car and I go past it, I'll usually go back and listen again. It's just one of those things that first time through, it's like, I don't know where this is going. I should have guessed where it was going, but I didn't, because of the you know, there's a guy in Memphis, and there's a guy in
Mark Twain. Yeah, I mean, it.
And then, oh, okay, that's where it's going.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, the Haggard, I think, has been out, released as a single for, well, I know I've been playing it for quite a while.
Yeah, Haggard is Harley Allen's song, as you mentioned, and I'm the biggest dog lover in the world.
No kidding.
Yeah,
and me,
I
and
have
me too.
To have
and
my dog.
It's a say. I tell you, it's something about. I don't know if it's just a modern thing, or but songs about about dogs and dogs leaving. And, man, it gets really, really hard after a while. When you had a couple of them leave you,
yeah.
And then you think about this dog that was just kind of found running around the street. But
yeah,
that's gone.
The cool thing about that is it is a true story. He really did, Harley Allen, the writer, really did find him downtown and kept him all those years. And the only, which it doesn't make nearly as, you know, good of a song ending, but the only thing in the song that isn't true is that when he was old and he died, he just kind of wandered away, as dogs sometimes will do. But other than that, the song is factual, and that's just the brilliance of a writer like Harley Allen. I love Fisher just as much as he loved Haggard, but
yeah.
I don't think Fisher got an instrumental named after him, not quite as cool as a song like Haggard.
What instrumental did he get?
I wrote a tune on my last banjo record, Stringworks, and I named it Fisher. Yeah.
I forgot that.
But that's all he gets, because I'm not the brilliant lyrical guy that Harley Allen was. But yeah, Haggard is a great tune, and I was actually proud of John Bryan sings that particular song. He's a big dog lover too, and he's in that stage of life, and you know this well. He and his wife don't have kids yet,
mm-hmm.
So the two dogs are absolutely their kids.
Those are the kids, yeah.
Yeah, they're a great precursor to having, you know, the real ones. And anyway, he was singing that song one night and kind of broke up near the end. And I love it. Yeah, I love it when people are thinking about what they sing and that it means something to them when they sing, because that's, I think, what moves people more than any other thing. I mean, you know, you definitely want you know, to sing in tune and have a good vocal tone and all those things. But really what you want to do vocally is connect with people. And, you know, I'm proud to be on stage with guys who care about that.
It'll get you. You know, on this album, and you did this before, the Grascals recorded Help for the benefit. And now I'm drawing a blank on what that was for. Oh, and there's your dog.
Yeah, there's Fisher. He made an appearance.
Fisher, okay.
Yeah, I think it was called Come See About Me.
That's right, yeah. All the great people on it. And then, so that was really nice, by the way. I thought it was a great treatment of the Beatles tune Help. And on this album, you do the Eddie Rabbit song that everybody probably remembers, Driving My Life Away. But it's a perfect adaptation of that song to a bluegrass sound.
Yeah, Chris Davis had that idea before he ever came in the band, and he said he just always loved it when the song was out, and then he felt like it would turn into a good groove for a bluegrass band. So that was one that he is 100% responsible for bringing to the band. That's one of the ones we're doing live, so it's turning into a good song for the stage shows.
What's funny is when you hear it, you think about the original tempo, and you think, well, yeah, it would be a perfect. But nobody ever did it, but when you hear it, you think, well, yeah, that was always kind of this, you know, this up-tempo thing, and why not? But you guys heard it that way, or Chris did.
Yeah, Chris did, and I love that song, too. Just, it never crossed my mind, and as soon as he started singing it, we all, you know, you remember that song, and think, well, that'd be a good idea.
You have, in addition to They Laughed, which I didn't give out, the real hook of the song. We talked about it being... you know, there's a guy from Memphis, there's a guy, and then talk about people thought he was crazy, which I assume that's Elvis, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the guy from Missouri who told tales about Huckin', that was Mark Twain, and they laughed. And then the other one is Jesus of Nazareth, and then talks about that. So I didn't, it's not a surprise, people will listen to the song, it's a great song, but in addition to that, I'm looking at What Does God Look Like, which I love these things that are a child speaking to a parent. I remember some great songs in the past where that kind of did it. And does he have my hair? What color will his eyes be? And the shepherd of
the shepherd of my valley.
Yeah. There's a lot of great songs. And Grascals always have. You always pay tribute to, they're not gospel, but certainly a religious tone. You never fail to do that, which I think, again, puts the Grascals in that spot where the great bluegrass bands always come back and have those two, three songs on an album that are spiritual or religious based, and that's something I think you guys do so well. You never forget to do it.
Yeah, and if anything, I think that's increased in recent years. For a while, It seemed like we always had, maybe not an over, some of the albums did, but some didn't have overtly Christian songs on it, but it would have a song like Keep On Walking that Janie Johnson wrote, which is very positive toned, and at the end it does certainly, you know, turn into a gospel song, but mildly, where you have John, who grew up singing church now, picking songs like The Shepherd of My Valley, which is the hook line of that is, what would I do without Jesus?
Right.
And I'd never even heard that song, and it was interesting because John's influences, he's a young guy, he's the youngest of us all, for sure. He's our resident millennial.
You used to be the youngest.
I used to be the youngest. I haven't been the youngest in a while. But anyway, he's the young guy, you know, and what's funny about that is, of us all, his musical influences predate everyone else's.
Really?
You know, he is, he's pre-bluegrass in a lot of ways. He loves mountain music and old-time music. He's from Boone, North Carolina, so he really is. It's funny because he looks like a, you know, just a GQ-looking young guy, and then he opens his mouth, and if you think I have a strong Southern accent, you know, you should hear John's
speaking.
Talk. But that's right. But anyway, he brought that song to the band, and I had never heard it. It sounded old, but I didn't know what it was, and we couldn't find publishing information on it. And the label, who we record for, Mountain Home, is part of the bigger organization Crossroads, and they do a lot of gospel music, and Greg at the label, he immediately knew who wrote it, the publishing info.
Wow.
I mean, the label itself is so rich in gospel music that they were all over it. So that was a new song to me, but I think John has brought that influence into the band.
Oh, cool.
In a very Doyle Lawson kind of way.
Yeah, okay. That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy as far as the influence.
Mm-hmm.
I love those tunes, and I can always count on the Grascals to fit. So you have those. I'm not trying to give them short shrift, but I want to get through the categorization.
Yeah.
A lot of like broken heart songs.
Yeah, that's always a constant. And you know, Terry Eldridge was probably the guy most likely to bring, because his heart is really with old country music. So that's definitely going to be the thing you sing about the most. And and he could deliver those songs, you know, so well. So if anything, we've only done one record, and Chris has not been in the band long, but it wouldn't surprise me if we move toward some more positive messaged songs, only because he was the heart of those drinking, broken-hearted, failed relationship type of songs. But with that being said, I mean, that's really the heart of bluegrass as well.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised if that ever fades away from the material.
Well, I mean, you can hear Terry's voice in Heartbreak Hall of Fame.
You can. He's so identifiable.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's a song that John sings lead on, when they come into the chorus, you can hear Terry Eldridge's voice.
About,
and yeah. Oh, gosh, he's got such a great identity.
If you look in the way the album is, if I categorize these things, and I could be wrong, it doesn't matter, but it's just the way I have to discuss them. Don't Leave Your Memory Behind is right before you get to straighten the curves out. And the way Don't Leave Your Memory Behind is very sad about it. Are you sure you want to leave this behind?
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to leave this behind? And the next song is like, I'm on the road, I'm leaving.
I'm gone.
And I'm
yeah.
straightening the curves out, and I'm not. It's kind of funny, the juxtaposition of those songs on the album. Just, I almost chuckle when I think, well, yeah, they kind of fit. Here's the one, I'm really sad you're leaving, but see you later. I'm out the door.
Yeah, I think, honestly, you have already put way more thought into it than any of us.
Well,
I think, honestly, our assembly of the material would probably just be slow, fast, slow, medium, fast, slow.
Well, I have arrows.
Different key. But really, the sequence came from the label. We didn't even have anything to do with that. So maybe they thought of that. They
maybe.
Put the thought into it like you.
Maybe I have arrows for tempo. You know, my arrows up or high tempo. Then I have slammed. Then I have straight ones for like
sure.
Don't Leave Your Memory Behind. But I just think those things. And Larry Cordell, Calling Your Name. Is that a new song from him? And I know you used to. It's Larry Cordell and Chris Austin is what I have for Calling Your Name, the second tune on the album.
Yeah, no, that's a song that he wrote a long time ago, and I believe it was a pretty big hit for Ricky Skaggs. And that's where I met Chris Davis, the new singer.
Oh, okay.
He and I played for Larry Cordell, and we were in the band at the same time. So, you know, I was delighted when Chris joined the Grascals because I had already traveled with him for years and knew him forever and knew he was a great guy to be with. But he brought that, and he has continued to play with Larry Cordell and still does.
Oh, okay.
And he's just a guy that, if you know him, you love him. And, I mean, I would, you know, as they say, jump in front of a bus for Larry Cordell. I think the world of him. So I think we're always going to be prone to want to do Cordell songs. One, because they're great.
Sure.
And also because we have such a fond place for him.
And, you have a familiarity with him, so you know you know what he's writing and why he's writing. And
He's great.
He is great. He's better than people know.
Oh, gosh.
You know.
You have no idea how hard it is to write in everyday language. And because I really, you know, I love the writers who get real heady and intellectual. And you know, you can kind of get lost in the weeds. But I swear, as someone who doesn't have the songwriting skill, I think it's harder to write a song that sounds conversational with real people. And Larry Cordell is a guy who can just communicate and in a way that his audience relates to so well, and just say something pretty complicated in a way that everybody can understand it and get on board with.
Well,
he's really brilliant.
That's a great description, because when you hear his songs, you think, oh, yeah, that's you don't realize how complex they are, because he makes them sound so simple in the thought behind
them. And that is not easy.
No.
There's nothing simple about making something brilliant sound simple.
There, that's good. That's great. We'll finish our discussion with Larry Cordell. And that way you have Becky Bullerton leading off the album, My Virginia Mama. Big fan of Becky's work.
Yeah, we love Becky Buller, and we've listened to a bunch of her songs. We did one of hers last album as well. Called Sleeping with the Reaper, who she wrote with one of my college friends, Grant Williams. So that was a Becky song. And then this one we did, My Virginia Mama. I had heard that one, gosh, maybe 8 or 10 years ago on one of her demo CDs that we had. And it's one of those that every time we thought about it, but it just never, you know, seeped its way into the final list. And I don't know what changed this time, but I think John just really liked it a lot. And obviously, we can all bring songs to the band, but the final say is going to lie with the singers, because they're the ones who have to deliver the song. So if the singer likes it, you know, that's probably worth me, Adam, and Danny, our votes put together, you know, if one of the lead singers really wants to do it. So
it's first among equals is what Lincoln used to call that in his cabinet.
There you go. Yeah, the singers definitely. I feel obligated to kind of adhere to their lists, because it'd be the equivalent of them choosing a banjo tune. If they have to carry the song and sing it, I just feel like our role primarily as instrumentalists is to support that. So I think it's only fair to, you know, kind of give them the final say.
And the singer had nothing to do with the ninth cut on the album, Andy Wayne.
Yeah, that's one that Danny wrote. He recorded that on one of his albums a few years ago, and just kind of brought it back and played it for all of us. And it's usually a mandolin tune that we put on the record, and he's one of the two founding members who are left. So Terry Smith and Danny Roberts are the only two original Grascals, and we usually do one that Danny writes, and this was one that he pulled from a mandolin record a couple back, I think.
Do you remember, I remember, the Little Grascals?
Yeah, you're talking about the...
Compton and...
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not around for any of that. I joined the band in 2008, and I believe they started in 2004 or 2005, and I think that was the warm-up to the...
I think so. That's a good...
Yeah. It kind of morphed into a band concept after that, but there was a record, right?
Yes, there was.
Right?
I bought it at IBMA one time walking around. The guy said, this is really good. I said, okay, and I recognized a few of the names, and it's really traditional.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it. I never ran across that record.
Well, you know, I'll get it for you next time I see you. The album, I'm talking to Kristen Scott Benson, and we're just chatting easily about the Straight and the Curves, which we've mentioned in passing, but that's the name of the album. There is a tune on the album. It's on Mountain Home Music. And I get to listen and listen and listen, so I get really attached to the album when I'm talking to an artist. But this is so typically, not to downplay, it's so typically great Grascals. That's the best way I can describe it.
Well, that's the goal, you know, is to maintain some unity with the sound and the material and what people expect from the band, even if there are new folks in
that's
the group.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And you don't have to maintain the same sound, but you have to bring in new people. Like you say, personnel changes over 15 whatever years. It has to. Mm-hmm. So you need to bring in new people, and you're not going to always sound the same, because you mentioned that Terry Eldridge has a very unique voice. You have great singers, but you have a great sound. But the sound as a whole, to me, translates as the Grascals, as you've been going through these different iterations. That's just the way I always hear it, that way.
Well, that's good. That's the idea.
Yeah. Great. So what else is going on? We have a website. We can probably follow you guys everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. It's just grascals.com, and then there's a Facebook page as well.
Okay.
That I do everything I can to steer clear of. You know, I'm the worst about social media. I know it's supposed to be part of our lives as musicians these days, and I've grown. I mean, I do engage a little bit, but absolutely, people can stay connected through Facebook. Primarily, but there is a website.
There's a website. So everybody's good in the family. We talked about Wayne. We talked about Fisher. Everybody else doing well?
Yeah, we have. The only other member is, of course, our son, Hogan, who is 12. He's a 7th grader.
Now, see, I remember. Wow. Okay, so I'm getting older, too, then.
I know. That's how that works. It's like, you run into people, maybe people you went to high school with or something, you think, gosh, they've aged, and it's like you just want to skip over the part that means you have aged equally with them. And then your kids get big. They start getting big. It's like, whoa. It's,
did you say he was starting in high school?
No, he's a 7th grader. He's 12.
Okay.
Yeah, 7th grader, yeah. Okay, so he's in middle school.
All right, cool. That's all. And we heard from your dog. We heard from you. This has been great. I always enjoy talking to you, Kristen. It just makes me feel good. It's easy to talk to you all the time.
Yeah, you're great at what you do, and we're thankful for people like you that share our music, and we love to have thoughtful people write and talk about what we're doing, and it's a valuable part of the world that we live in.
Well, I appreciate that, and we'll trade messages about some other people that we know off the air.
Yeah, let's don't dare talk about Sonny Osborne.
No, he'll hear it. All right, I'll let you go. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Steve.
See you, bye.
All right.